remember, we're studying the trespass offering. We think in terms of, well, some of us think in terms of getting away with something, you getting away with it, or, but almost in every case, there's some component of a recognition of the possibility of punishment. You understand? As a practical matter, that's the only thing that has kept most of you out of jail. Because you're afraid of the punishment.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's
the only reason I would ever wear a seatbelt.
Well, that's a real, yeah.
Well, it reflects
a low level.
I mean, that's like...
That's more and more of raping and body.
I was thinking about drug trafficking. Yeah. She's thinking
that's
about
seatbelt. Yeah. That's where I wear a seatbelt.
I know, that's what I consider punishment.
And along those same lines, Tara, those tags are still on my mattresses.
Well, I ripped those tags off the pillow, so
I... Oh, you're shameless.
What are you waiting for? Oh, you're in for it.
The penalty of law, no seatbelt.
He
should be embarrassed.
He's
so bad.
That is like really.
Mr. Grand Jury must turn you in now. So.
You're busted. Yeah.
How dare you?
What are you in for?
Seatbelts.
Yeah, there she is standing before God, Burley Gates, and he says, so, how many times did you not fasten your seatbelt?
And what about the seatbelt, sorry?
I think there's a Huffy here somewhere.
That's the only reason he really keeps his notebook.
Huffy notes.
You have to have jokes for tomorrow.
That's on another page.
But anyway, the act of, and it's not necessarily like direct punishment. It's not like one-to-one, if you know what I mean. I mean, there are things that you haven't done at the moment of anger or moment of something, not because you are afraid of a direct response to that, but it's just sort of this general conditioning, the societal conditioning that's a no-no, because if you do that, you'll get punished. Or even way back, it's if you do that, you'll go to hell. I mean, there's still a heaven and hell component in this act of punishment with regard to the trespass. You understand? I mean, you can't think of trespass without thinking of some component of punishment. Now, if I told you that punishment is impossible, then that wouldn't register. Because your mind is so conditioned to think in terms of punishment, to think in terms of cause and effect, that the act of being punished for something is as natural to you as breathing. You believe with everything in you that punishment follows something, and you're really not too sure what it follows, because you can never quite get it right. So, as Harry says, the large print giveth and the small print taketh away. He's always afraid that he's going to be punished for something. It's a general sense. And because he's always afraid, he always is. But do you understand? I mean, it may be hard for you to believe, but the idea of me being punished for something doesn't even enter my mind.
It's not
right. Huh?
Yeah. I hate that about you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I always wished I was in that seat. I always think if I was in that seat, if I was in your position, then I wouldn't be punished. You know what I mean? And I know that's not true. It's all a mindset.
Yeah, I want you to think about it another way. You're in this seat because you know you can't be punished. Now, what I'm telling you tonight is, for those of you who are in this sewer pit, it'll be mind-blowingly good news that it is impossible to be punished since the cross. All of the little stories that your mother told you when you grew up to keep you in line are wrong. It's impossible to be punished. I have never threatened any of you with punishment.
What do you define as punishment?
We're going to get to that.
pretty tenable question.
What is the difference between chastisement and punishment?
Yeah.
Well,
lots of chastisement.
Yeah. I mean, I think about punishment, to me, the bottom line is like something like going to prison. That's something real physical.
Or you know, getting a ticket for not having a seatbelt on.
That's a hardcore one there, too.
I mean, just calm down.
But you gotta imagine that one is gonna go down in the annals. I mean,
right here, right here. It's a portrait of a serial killer. It's right there.
Tara, a portrait of a reckless driver.
Punishment in all societies, in all times, is or was an act of justice. Or an act of wrath that was revealed by justice. There had the component of wrath and the component of justice. Otherwise it couldn't be punishment, it would just be tormenting or something. You understand? The evil one, Satan, doesn't ever think in terms of punishment. He thinks in terms of torment. It's dissonant. It can't make sense. It can't follow action. Torment is like punishment, except it's unrelated. Do you understand? And so he has come to torment. So if you're in an unrelated kind of feeling of fear and weirdness and it has nothing to do, it's torment.
So who gets punished?
Nobody. It's done. All of the punishment in the universe was taken on the cross.
So it's either torment or rest.
Now, punishment is an act of justice revealing wrath, I should say, is a better way of punishing. Chastisement is an act of mercy revealing love. Let me say it again.
Good.
Chastisement is an act of mercy revealing love. Now, no chastisement for the present seems joyous. Since Christ, I don't want to get in this discussion on one level, since the cross of Christ, punishment anywhere in the universe is impossible. But especially if you're in Christ Jesus, there can be no condemnation. And if there can be no condemnation, there can be no punishment. You can never be judged down. Condemnation is katakrino in the Greek, and it means to judge down. It's impossible. Right. Right. Justice has been fulfilled, so there's no possibility of punishment. Now, this is real important if you're an attorney, or if you think like an attorney, because your mind, it'll cause your mind to blow several little circuits. To find out that there's no such thing as punishment will blow your mind. There can be no condemnation, therefore there can be no punishment. However, where there is retained guilt, there is always the perception of punishment. Wherever there is retained guilt, chastisement is perceived as punishment. And as long as there is perception of punishment, by definition, there has to be a perception of need for performance.
This is a huge pill.
I lost it. Where there is retained guilt, chastisement is perceived as punishment.
Okay. If there is a perception of punishment, there by definition has to be with that the perception for the need of performing. If I am convinced that if I do certain things or have done certain things in the past and I'm going to be punished for them, or if I do certain things in the future and will be punished for them, then by definition, it's axiomatic that I have to believe in performing a certain way so that I don't get punished.
Yeah, that's one of those things. Crosses, it doesn't even go through the normal channels of understanding. It's something you know.
Yeah. But again, hear me. You know how much I hate performance. Mm-hmm. Almost without exception, the thing that people get in trouble for is, number one, either sincerity, or two, is performing, the need to perform. Now, if you're guilty of both of them, you're in really deep stuff. So somehow, locked in this idea of the trespass and its corresponding punishment or lack of it, there's another thing going on here. If there can be no possibility of a punishment, that's going to be hard to grok. If there can be no possibility for a punishment, there can be, by definition, no trespass.
No, that makes sense.
There's no possibility of punishment. There can be no trespass.
And so, the idea of everything since the cross is simply God moving you in certain directions to bring you to a point in which, so that you will be able to define your envelope. So you will know the limits. So you will be able to reach the point of repentance in every possible arena of your life. You perceive it as making a mistake, as doing a trespass, as doing something wrong, as getting in trouble. God perceives it as pushing you by His Holy Spirit to the edge of the envelope where you see that your fingers got burned and you don't want to be there anymore.
But the reason we perceive it as trespassing is because of guilt?
We perceive it as trespass because we retain guilt and think it's righteous to.
Yeah, we should.
Am I communicating? This is the key to some of your freedoms.
Okay.
I'm starting on the part of being no trespass. We're studying trespass and we're identifying trespass, and now we say there's no trespass.
Well, I'm saying there is no trespass.
Is there? Isn't there? The way I want to know is if there's no trespass.
That's right. I'm going to kill myself.
Wait,
there's no trespass.
No.
So what are we talking about here?
What have I been doing all this punishment for?
What? I missed something over there.
In your case, I think you better.
You can't punish me.
You're a little stupid.
No, it's the same deal with the law. It's like without the consciousness of sin, there is no law. I mean, the two are independent. I don't know.
Well, I mean, there was a trespass. I mean, when we talk about Christ fulfilling the trespass offering.
Yeah, but there wasn't a time. In time, there was only a time in Revelation, in your own, in the opening of your eyes. The ones that were spiritual back then knew the same thing we do. I mean, you understand? It isn't.
Oh, right.
It is not something that has changed in time, because the Lamb was slain from before the foundation of the world. So, at any given point along that timeline,
This was true.
This was always true. And that's why there can be no such thing as dispensation. There can't be things that, there can't be truths that change within time.
So in truth, for us, for a time, there were trespasses.
Right. If you didn't come to that understanding, you would have never been here in the first place. You had to have believed that you made a mistake, or you couldn't have gotten here. Now, when you enter this level of understanding, then you come to the knowledge that it's impossible to make a mistake, and I never did make one in the past even. It was all God by His Spirit pushing me to the edges of the envelope where I, you know, He pulled me, He pushed me out in the middle of the road and then pulled me back before the truck hit me. Now, if you feel like there is punishment, then you will feel like there's need to justify.
Yeah. Oh, you're funny.
What makes you think that?
I wasn't thinking that. Well, maybe I was, but I really...
I already did it.
But, yeah.
I was like a little kid and whatever.
Okay.
I knew as the last emperor.
If you... Yeah, you don't think I'd hit her, do you?
She makes sense of it. It's like the little kid in the last dipper. Tyra's in trouble. Rip, whack.
You know your office, right?
I know. Whooping puss. All right.
I'm literally on a pretty stupid.
Yeah, you can see Ollie going, whack, whack.
I can see
that. Like
this,
Rick.
So what about spanking your kids?
It's perfectly legitimate. The reason is because they are without law. They what serveth the law, it serveth till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. The promises aren't made to you or me, or promises are made to Jesus Christ. So the law serves to provide the boundary. It serveth the law, it serveth till the seed should appear to whom the promises are made.
Yeah, I mean, in her life, she has to know trespasses before she can know grace. I mean, she can't know grace, you know, because the laws, because then she'll say, for what?
Yeah, that's what these idiots, I mean, the Dr. Spock generation of child rearing.
Don't get me started.
We,
I'm paying the price for
it. So we feel...
I'm afraid it's too late for
Jen. We feel guilt or the need to reform or whatever until we know who we are.
That's right. Then you rest. Then you say it's finished. Now again, this deal of justifying is awesome. It's the evidence that you don't believe. And that's why it's so evil. You are they that justify yourselves among men. But God knoweth your hearts. For those things which are highly esteemed among men are an abomination unto God. So if you are again in the justifying process, you have to do the dance with things that are esteemed among men. Otherwise, justification is meaningless.
Yeah.
I mean, you could never use the cross to justify anybody or anything. Or death. But if you are justifying yourselves among men, it's the evidence that you don't believe.
That's out here, that's like the selling.
Yeah,
the
selling.
Yeah.
And the selling is the evidence. Again, anybody that is out trying to make converts, you know he doesn't believe. I don't care what they're doing.
Really, when you justify two men, God doesn't really enter the picture.
Amen. And it's just a sell job. Mm-hmm. Now, since there are no degrees of justification, in other words, if it's a little bit, or just a little bit, or you spend your life justifying yourself, there are no degrees of justification. You cannot be partially free from guilt.
Yeah.
You understand that? You're either totally free or you're totally in bondage. Now, the thing that has happened now, especially, and it's really neat to see in both Crystal and Tylene, is they have both now tasted freedom. They'll never again be the same. They may fall back into bondage for a while, but they've tasted and know that the Lord is good, so they can come out of it. You know, that's why I know with everything in me that God will be faithful to complete the work that He started in Harry. I know that I can say the harsh things I've said to him and have a degree of certainty that God is going to continue that work, because Harry has tasted and knows this. So I can say, you know, I can leave it in God's hands. But you have to see that this is a battle. All this is guilt. What is guilt? Guilt is simply making the cross of Christ of none effect.
Yeah.
Guilt is saying that the blood of Christ was worthless, or else it was negotiable. In other words, it did me good for this, but it can't handle that. So all of what I'm saying to you tonight about punishment is really basic it's just learning more about it. You understand? It's still a simplicity of freedom from guilt.
Yeah.
You understand that?
Yeah.
What chapter is that one that you said you started about the abomination?
Oh, it's Luke chapter 15 or 16, isn't it? I should do that. It's all you guys are becoming nuts. Like, so, reprobates.
Okay. Tyrant and Levites.
Yeah.
Luke 16, verse 15 through 18. What's?
What chapter again?
Luke 16.
Okay.
Well, I mean, this is obvious, but I want to say it anyway. That everything I went through today is an example of what you were just talking about. It's all attempted.
Now, since there's no such thing as punishment, and if the only thing that's taking place that you perceive as negative is chastisement, then what are some of the names for chastisement?
Trouble.
Getting yelled at.
Yeah.
Instruction.
Correction.
Reproof.
Exhortation.
Exhortation. Rebuking.
Yeah.
Asking.
Oh. Suffering. Tribulation. Fiery trials, temptations,
okay.
Afflictions,
admonish,
all of them are the same thing. Get in trouble, hot seats, meetings with Oli.
New Year's Eve parties.
New Year's Eve parties.
Let's go ahead and throw all our
that's
parties
with
admonish.
That's
those,
right,
those,
yeah.
Those are the four big ones.
Fire.
Get rid of
a meeting with Oli.
Nice shoes, by the way.
Now, do you understand that? Can you at least get a little grok on the fact that punishment is impossible?
Little one, it's good news.
Is that for all the world or just as believers?
For all the world.
No, just for. It's all ours.
Again, remember, I don't believe that, and we'd get in real trouble with fundamentalists over this one, but I don't believe that you have to run around and name Jesus Christ to be saved. No man cometh to the Father, huh?
It'd be stupid if you did have
to. Well, no man cometh to the Father except by me isn't a moral option, it's an eternal fact. Any time and any place and anywhere in the universe, if man abandons himself and repents, Jesus Christ is the outcome.
Well, I mean, if that's the philosophy, anybody who lived before Christ would be...
Well, that's why you're getting all these asinine arguments with the Bill Brights of the world and the Billy Grahams.
The Native Americans are people who lived
afterwards. What about people who lived in the Andes?
Oh, yeah.
Or if you're deaf and dumb.
What about Helen Keller?
People who lived in the
Andes. I hate arguments like that.
What about people who are just nice?
What about dogs and cats?
They're already going to heaven.
Do you understand how much or what kind of a large percentage of the time of your life thus far has been spent in being concerned with justification, fear of punishment?
100%. Approximately 34 years.
Yeah.
That's right.
I always try to do 110%.
And they just passed 24 hours.
Yeah, this is why they, you know, these stupid football cliches. That's why they exist.
One game at a time.
We came to play.
He's a competitor.
110%.
They put their pants on one leg at a time.
Is that a football player?
And they have intestinal fortitude.
When you're going up against the heart.
Oh, it's the one today. They're dominating.
Total domination.
Total domination.
Half of total domination.
This is a child abuse case right here.
The second half will be sadomasochistic.
No, whenever you're going to play a team that's going to whip your ass, the coach would say, they put their pants on one leg at a time to convince you that they weren't that much superior. But half the team never got it.
Yeah, but you never saw the size of their jock straps.
Well,
to teach. You know, do you realize that?
Well, you can only be serious for 19 minutes. 19 minutes, there has to be a
it all falls apart.
It has to be a comedy relief.
19 minutes is the outer limit.
19 minutes.
I think it's more like 19 seconds.
Oh, you've been doing good. About 30 minutes.
You got to keep talking.
From God's standpoint, if you are ever concerned with punishment, or justification of yourself, or trying to avoid punishment, you are, from God's standpoint, you're insane.
I believe that.
Did he say ever?
Well, this isn't good.
Now, the word insane in the Hebrew is, I mean in Greek, is it mean, it's translated as to be beside yourself. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 5.
He's got a question.
Yeah, oh, I just, we were,
he's a little liar, actually.
We were at Denny's. We're never going to Denny's again.
Denny's, yeah, really gone down.
Down here.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, it's too Denny's. They don't even serve real cream anymore.
But anyway, it was real icy, and we were walking out, and I remember, and she's, Tyra said something like, but it reminded me of this phrase, I mean, this statement in Norwegian. No, it's if it's my whenever something happened, like in the news or whenever one of my cousins or I said something that was out of line, my grandmother would say, "Oofta, oofta."
What the hell does that mean?
Well, it's the Norwegian equivalent of "aw shit."
They have bumper stickers that say that.
Oofta. Oofta.
I gotta remember that.
Oofta. But you have to say it right.
Hey, maybe we can say that during the Nazarite vow. Oofta.
It's oofta. Oofta.
Are you gonna say man?
I'm gonna get on the air tomorrow. You seen those ratings?
No. Excuse me.
Not oofta.
You can say that.
You gotta make an umlaut out of it. You gotta umlaut it.
Oofta.
It's like a French.
Oof.
It's like you do like, yeah. Close your lips and you say E.
You're not even doing it right. You're over there acting like you're. Yeah, but you're genuine. And what's coming out isn't even anywhere as close to what oof
does.
Well,
it's close
to shit.
So,
well,
the record show you started this.
For those of us with legal minds,
play the tape back.
It's one of those pause things.
That's going to get her a lot.
People are going to get these
tapes. Let the record reflect.
Running backwards.
So there we were at 2 Corinthians 5.
For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, in this tabernacle, and where we are now, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our houses, with our house which is from heaven. It says, it should say our temple which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Now, that's a Jewish kind of statement, that if so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. In other words, that we do in fact have on the right garment. That the garment that we have on isn't this illusion. And what he's saying is any other covering, any other garment that you have besides the righteousness of Christ and Christ alone, is nakedness. And the hardness to be hard on you over self-justification and over all these other issues and guilt that's the best that I can do. I mean, there's no greater love than I can show you than to do that. Do you understand? Yeah. And you'll perceive it as I'm the worst son of a bitch in the universe.
If you ever retake it.
Yeah. Now that's tell a story. That's really neat about what with Gary last night.
Gary was talking to me about Sunday night, you know, when they prayed for us, and and we got to talking about, you know, stuff going on with me and Oli, and Gary was talking to me about how much he could see how much Oli loved me. He said it's in everything he does, everything he says, you know, and he, just the little things he does, he said, you know, he loves you more than anything. And I told him, I said, yeah, and I said, you know, I see things in a different way than all of you do, as far as how Oli feels about you all. And I said, I see the same thing in him, the way he loves you, that you see in him, the way he loves me. And
blew him away.
Yeah. Because it's like there are a lot of things that under normal circumstances, there would probably be some against in me towards Oli. But because I can, you know, I see how much he loves all of you. Maybe there's a togetherness. I mean, I can be at peace, you know, so many times. When, like I say, under normal circumstances, I don't think I ever could with a person, with a man. But it's like everything he does is from that basis.
For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. And do you all know that mortality, mortal, the word mortal means dead? Most of you never mean. If you grow up in the English language, you won't know that.
Means dead.
No, mortal means life. Yeah, mortal means that you are not eternal. That, I mean, that's the contrast. But it means you're already dead. Mortal means dead.
Mort. To die.
Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing, what? The selfsame thing, meaning that mortality would be swallowed up of life, is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. The earnest is a Hebrew word, I mean, Greek word, which means down payment. It means the it's the certainty, it's the first fruit. Therefore, we are always confident. We are always confident. We are always confident. Knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, we pay no attention to sensory perception. It's gone. We never again need to pay any attention to what we can feel or hear or see or sense or smell or touch. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And that's why we do hot seats. I mean, I know with everything in me that someday, at some point in time, there will be a thankfulness for hot seats. We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Uh-oh.
What? I didn't get that.
Good or bad?
Sure, you got it.
Good or bad?
We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. That's right. It's soul or spirit.
It's not naughty or nice.
It's whether it's be spirit or soul. It's that which is, in other words, notice his is in italics. The things done in body are here. You understand?
Is this the same as if any man build on that foundation wood, hay, stone?
Amen. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now that's a heavy scripture. Knowing the terror of God, we persuade men. Now I've had a few occasions to know the terror of God. It's not a nice thing. but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we come, huh?
What does that mean?
We are open. It's everything is clear. There's nothing hidden to you in your minds, in your, that there, everything you know about me is out there.
All right.
For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory in our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. Now here's the scripture that we said a lot to say this. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. Now the word beside there is the word existemi in the Greek, and it means to be literally outside of self. It's the same root word as existential. But it's existemi, and it means to be, and it's the word that's normally translated in other Greek literature is to be out of your mind or to be out of your wits. But he's saying to be out of your wits is to God. The only time you'll ever know you're sober, right, or normal is, look, whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober or normal, it is for your cause. In other words, from his standpoint, God defines normal mental health as having no thought about yourself and only concern for another person. The moment you put your eyes on yourself for any reason whatsoever, spiritually, you are insane. And the only way out of it is to say, I may be insane, but I am God's insane. The moment you make that acknowledgement, you will find that the hold that the Antichrist has had on you is gone. Because he can't operate in that arena. You understand that? This is crucial to your freedom from being in bondage to thinking not only about justification, guilt, punishment, fear. It all comes because you believe that you have something left, that there is, that the price hasn't yet been paid. Well, God says that kind of thinking is insanity. Now, let's go on. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it's for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge. Now, why did he use that word constrain? The love of Christ constrains us. What is it? That's a stupid word to use. Hedges us in, constrains. It constrains us to do what? It constrains us because we thus judge. That if one died for all, then we are all dead. The human race is dead. And that he that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Now this, it took precious, precious years of suffering, being tested, for Paul to be able to write that incredible statement. This was about 27 years after he became a believer that this letter was written. The love of Christ constraineth us, for we thus judge that if one died for all, then all are dead. Again, that we know no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him, even him no more. Now, I promise you that you can't get to this point without being freed from your thoughts about punishment, and that you begin to see what you perceive as punishment only as chastisement. At the moment, it frees you in every possible arena.
Yeah.
It frees you in the arena of if there's something that, for any reason that you're feeling a negative impulse, or in any way negative, it by definition is, first of all, it's God that's doing it, and second of all, it's God that's doing it for your benefit.
Yeah.
so that you won't have a train wreck. No matter what it is, it's impossible not to be in a... It's everything that you perceive as negative is what? It's either chastisement, or the word, all of it's chastisement, but it, you'll perceive it as suffering, or as admonishment, or as tribulation. God sees it as teaching, as disciplining, and as discipling. And I promise you, you can be free. Again, what do we do? What then happens with the people that say and preach that gain is godliness? Do you see how it makes a mockery of this? If I say to you that if you do something, if you pray right, or if you give a vow $1,000, that you'll get money and stuff back, what I'm doing is denying that there is suffering in the name of God. And the denial of that suffering is by definition...
It castrates
the Spirit of God. Now, the reason that we make fun of these goofuses like Tilton is because it wouldn't have any power if you didn't already believe it. You believe that gain is godliness. You believe that if you make a vow of performance that you'll get good things. God wants you freed from that by the simple recognition that there is no more... I mean, these people are 10,000 times more bondage than you can believe if they buy it once. If they buy that lie for 1 millisecond, they're in 10,000 years of bondage. Because from then on, if something happens that they perceive as negative, they have only one choice, and that is to believe that God is punishing them. And that they have hidden sin in their life. Then it goes to demons. Pretty soon they're in a prison that you will not believe. And it happens, it's inexorable.
And that's what you were talking about, being insane?
Well, we know that insanity is... We are insane. The moment, if I for a moment worry about me, I'm insane. Now that's why everything that about Christ is abandon yourself, take no thought for yourself, deny yourself, I judge not even mine own self, no man liveth to himself. I mean, it goes on and on and on and on, and we'll get into that more. But please, I beg of you, get rid of this notion of punishment and the dread of punishment. If you know there's no such thing as punishment, you'll begin to taste freedom for the first time in your life. Amen?
That is a really hard one to communicate.
But see the alternative. The alternative is to believe that the death of Christ was worthless. You have to see that your idea that there could be punishment is an act of righteousness on your part. Because if you think you can get it wrong, do it wrong, then you have to believe you can do it right. Yeah. They go hand in hand. Yeah. Don't be confused by thinking, you understand? What happens is you dwell on one for a minute, and then pretty soon the coin flips. And what happens? All of a sudden I thought I was being sincere in saying, oh, I'm too bad to be forgiven. And all of a sudden, instead, I am elevating myself way above Jesus Christ. Now, that's what Harry's been doing. Harry thought it was righteous to say the other night, well, I'll always be a cheat. Well, there's no cheats in the kingdom of heaven. That's why we have to abandon ourselves. For me to live as Christ, to die as gain.
I'm so bad.
Huh?
I'm special because I'm so bad.
Yeah,
I'm
well, you're not special. You're real common.
I'm special because I get yelled at.
You're just common. It's just common, everyday dung and flesh. There's nothing special there. You don't have any little special uniquenesses. You don't have any little special talents. There's no testing that's special. It's all common. Take a big guy.